There they go. Hey, it is upon us. It's here. It's already here. Welcome to Chaos Theory. It's going to get even more chaotic tonight, or will it? Make sure you tune into the draft. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter, not the fake wags. You can find my co-host and partner in crime, Rodney Rodriguez, on Twitter at the Rodney R. And then on the gram at the underscore Rodney R. Usually you can find Rodney on there just surfing and looking for athletes of the week. I'm with him. I'm right there liking alongside of stuff with him on the gram at the Wagner Wire. So if you're out and about mobile, make sure you're hitting us up on that Coda text line, 512-222-9328. And smash that subscribe button if you hadn't done so. Share it with your friends. Let's all be friends and party on, Wayne and Garth. Party on. All right, man. It is draft day, my dude. We'll talk playoffs. We'll get into the playoffs, but we also have Al Walsh coming on at the bottom of the hour. I forgot to mention that to you, so I'm sorry if that's going to surprise you or not, Rodney. But usually you like chopping it up with Al and talking to him. Yeah. But I want to get his opinions on some MLB. He's also got some draft stuff that he wants to get off his plate. So I figured we could cover the NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs. And kind of have a nice little roundabout party, man. But first and foremost, man, what happened to you last night? Anything good?
I had to record a lot of race recording interviews. I do a Thursday night show, and it's gotten to where so much of that I'm just recording interviews. So Wednesday night is like, I'm in cruise control, which tonight I'm excited because all that shit, my Thursday show is done. All I got to do is hit play, and I can deal with the draft and all these other different things. But that really was a lot. And speaking of the draft, I mean, just think about that. I mean, it's going to be like in four different places, ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes. I think it's on NFL Network also, just for 32 picks. I mean, it's such a massive event.
They really draw this out. I mean, remember when it only used to be the weekend?
You remember that shit?
And now it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We recap Monday.
It was like on. And you know, I totally get the... And that's where you look again, and the franchise it is, the National Football League. I mean, because here we are in the thick of the
all year round, baby, money driver. Right? All year round. I mean,
we got basketball playoffs, we got hockey playoffs, we got all this shit going on. And what's everybody talking about? Dudes getting drafted. It's
Who do you think does the better job at keeping a fan base intact and glued in? And I mean, you could say it's an off season because there technically is, but I used to feel like it was baseball with hot stuff. I mean, even though baseball still had one, it felt like in a grueling, I know baseball, everybody says that baseball is a long season, but it feels like it's a grueling break, right? Because I want it to be all year long, but it feels like it's just a grueling long break until you hear pitchers and catchers report to camp. I almost feel like the MLB Network used to keep everybody glued and informed and probably just attracted with attention to detail with like Harold Reynolds and the rest of the talking heads that are on there. DeRosa is one of my favorite ones too, man. But dude, some of the best shows that they would have, you know, on MLB Network, like Hot Stove and things, were some of my favorite ones. Kevin Millar. He's a very entertaining dude. He had a really good show as well. But then, you know, NFL Network, they stepped their game up too, man. And they have, you know, some of the best talking heads on that station too. So, again, NFL is the money driver. They're the ones that usually just keep it going all year round and make the party continue to have life. So both networks do a great job, but I used to think it was MLB. Now I think it's NFL.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the NFL, I mean, it seriously never stops. And the thing about it is, it's like with the NFL, baseball in the offseason, I know with MLB, they'll show classic games and all these different things. The NFL Network does that as well. But it's like with the National Football League, there's always a story. I mean, whether it be the simplicity of Jerry Jones you know, doing what he does, or whatever the case, or and let's admit it.
What went down in those playoffs back in 93?
Or let's admit it. I mean, not that this part is planned, but you got guys getting in trouble. So, I mean, there's always something happening with the NFL, you know, and it just never stops. And the media, that they just swarm right to it. And having the ESPN part there factors in as well. But it really is a thing where football has overtaken baseball. As
a buddy of mine once said, what happens when there's no longer an NFL? And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, I mean, there's a good chance, you know, that the NFL could just stop at some point. I mean, nothing lasts forever. And I was like, are you serious? And he goes, think about it. I mean, honestly, think about it. And I have thought about it. It's like, well, when there's a money driver, right? When the NFL is the ultimate money driver, and unless, you know, the league collapses out of greed or whatnot. I don't know what would collapse the league, right? Owners, you know, wanting to go and be a super team or whatnot. I don't know. I'm using football or soccer analogies or whatnot. Anyways, I think when you have the number one marketing driver in all of reality TV, right? You want to talk, about real TV, you want to talk about real programs, like live programming. Football is obviously the money driver. And I see it in the comments. Football is king, and it always will be, my dudes. And that's why we're talking about it. That's why we're getting hyped for the draft and everything, too. Were you hyped at all for the draft coming into this, or because I felt like I was sensing low vibes from both of us, right? Like, it was kind of, we kind of knew what was going to happen in the first 10 picks or whatnot.
Just kind of ready to get it done. You know what I mean? Because it's like, how many different ways can you spin it? I mean, you know, the number one part and the back and forth and all that, and kind of the shifting around.
You think it's going to be the predicted 1-2-3s?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And I think we both kind of hit the point where it's like, when you start seeing some of these other, like I was just talking about there with X-Man, I mean, maybe he ends up in Dallas, I don't know. But when these things get really extreme, that's where I'm like, can we just do it now? Can we just do the draft tomorrow and get it over with? And that's the best part of this, because it's like we're talking about must see TV, must watch TSU, because we're sitting here breaking this thing down in a lot of different ways. But back to what you were saying, I think really the last time, I mean, the NFL is the king. I mean, you could do spring football, you can do all this different stuff. It's not the same. You know, I think when the USFL, the original USFL, when you had Trump and all these other big owners and big players and big name players, Herschel Walker.
I remember the USFL. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I think that was really the last chance to where somebody was going to be able to take a stab at the NFL. And that shit fell on its face. And the NFL just, what Trump get, a $3 check when he tried to sue the NFL? I mean,
I don't remember any of the finances. That was way too young.
It was a mess.
I remember Dupree.
Mm-hmm. Marcus Dupree. Yeah.
I remember Marcus Dupree. I remember, wasn't Jim Kelly in that league?
Jim Kelly played for the Houston team. Flutie went there. Herschel Walker went there.
Well, yeah, I remember Herschel Walker signed right out of the gate with him.
Yeah, to Trump's team, I think it was, the Generals. And then you had Mike Rozier that was playing for one of those teams. And it was a lot of dudes that went there. And that's, you know, I remember being very young, 82, 83, whatever it was. And I'm thinking, this could mess up the NFL, but you know, the NFL,
I remember the Baltimore, I remember going to a few Baltimore Stars games when I was like five, right? But I I was way too young to even get a solid core memory of it. Like, I just remember walking to the game and being upset that we had to leave, because it was raining and I wasn't allowed to get sick or whatever. That is the biggest part of the game that I remember. I don't even remember who Baltimore was playing.
That's another great 30 for 30, the USFL, if you can find that on ESPN. And one of the coolest parts.
I'll check it out. I haven't seen it yet.
Because San Antonio had a team, San Antonio Gunslingers. They played at the at Alamo Stadium at the Rock Pile there. Great high school stadium. And the stories go, I mean, because their bank was over like along the coast somewhere out towards Corpus Christi. Those guys would get paid every week and they'd like haul ass down I-37 to go cash those checks before they would bounce. Yeah, you know, it was kind of one of those situations. But, yeah, USFL, I think that was the last time. But right now, NFL rules. I mean, it's just it really is the best. I think, man, I love what you said right there. It really is the best reality show.
It is. It's reality TV, man. Yeah. We kind of got to we have to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about it. There was reality TV on last night. If you're watching the ice, it's kind of brutal. I'm sorry. It just sucks. But we told you that they're just a pest of a team and they grind you down. And it's like no matter if you skate over the puck just an inch, they're going to be there to gobble it up. And these Vegas Knights have collected two in Dallas here. So Dallas got to try and right the ship and going out to that shit show in the desert, man, because it's a very distracting venue, man. You got people dancing. You got a knight coming out of nowhere, you know, out of swinging his sword or whatnot. You got all kinds of theatrics. It's a different hockey. If you've ever been to a Golden Knights game, you know what I'm talking about. It's a different vibe. It's a different venue, a different just yeah. feel than it is going to any other hockey game, man. Or just the fan base, just like the ambiance. It's just nuts. But anyways, there's a lot that I feel like there's a lot of distractions out in Vegas. You go out there, hopefully you right the ship and take two back because Dallas just, I don't know. I don't think it's Ottinger, but he does not look like, I don't know. Well, hell, when you're keeping a team to two goals or whatnot, the offense just isn't there for Dallas, man. You got to be able, I mean, this is one of the highest scoring teams of the league, and they hadn't been able to put anything together. And hell, man, draw more penalties, get on special teams, do what you need to do. Roberts had a great first goal last night, or hell, their only goal last night. Robertson was able to skim that in there. Really good screen off of Jamie Benn and able to put one in the net there. But yeah, Dallas has to figure it out, man, because it's grim. I mean, I don't want to. It's tough to come back from 2-0, especially when you got to go on the road, Rodney.
This really is the comp, you know, to the NFL play or the NBA playoffs of Lakers Nuggets. Dallas just can't beat them. That's all there is to it. I mean, go back and even in the regular season, I mean they're just not going to be able to beat them. And in a 2-0 hole right here, going back there like you talked about. I mean, Bobby, my co-host on Revved Up, I mean, they actually went to a couple of those Golden Knights games, and, you know, he's about all that shit, you know, that you're talking about. And it's like, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's a totally different atmosphere. And you go down there or up there, and you're going to be in that 2-0 hole. You're just done. And it's the lack of offense that I'm not seeing from Dallas. It's like, dude, what's going on here? I mean, it's gone cold and quiet. And Las Vegas is pouncing.
No, yeah, I mean, like it wasn't. It says 3-1, but I mean, they got the open nutter when Dallas pulled Ottinger last night. So I mean, again, you know, I only put only allowed two. You got to pick the scoring up. You definitely got to pick the scoring up. Other shockers in the league. How about the Oilers, man? I've been dead wrong on this too, man. I said the Oilers were going to sweep the Kings. Kings making it a series finally, getting on the board. Yeah, coming back, surprising the hell out of everybody. A nice little game last night there, going into overtime, being able to steal one from Edmonton. Then you had the Bruins getting back on the right track, knocking the Maple Leafs off. Got the Capitals in the contest tonight, guys. We'll see if we can right the ship. Or no, excuse me, it's Carolina and the Islanders, and I think the other game in the East is only Tampa and it's Tampa and Florida. I don't think the Capitals play tonight. I think it's a travel night.
And we'll see Carolina, you know, with what they did over the weekend with that just amazing comeback right there. I mean, it's a lot of momentum right there. Again, shit like that is what kills other teams in series. But, you know, back to Dallas, I mean, it really is one of those things to where you look at it, and I think a lot of people have Dallas.
See what Tom said here, very few OT games so far.
Yeah. Yeah,
very few OT games.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we'll see how it bodes for Dallas, but I think, dude, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. At least the Mavericks have bounced back.
What's that?
At least the Mavericks have bounced
back. To the NBA, we had some good scores last night too. I mean, here they come. Here they come.
The Heat.
Here they come. One hell of a shooting performance last night for the Heat, but I think the untold story was, for me, what I was able to watch was just how much Bam Adebayo I never say his damn last name. Bam Adebayo was able to battle last night so heavily inside the paint. I mean, look, and also, you know, Williams being able to get to the damn basket, being able to get, you know, some scores in the paint. I know that the story was all the perimeter shooting and, you know, just how lights out they were. But, man, I thought being able to make dominant drives or, excuse me, crucial drives into the paint at times was really the telling point against the or for the Heat, because it's hard to get anything usually in the paint against this damn Celtics squad. So,
good on
the Heat, man, making this a series.
It's 1-1. You know, I didn't think
a win in Boston, my guy. A win in Boston. It's 1-1 coming back to Miami.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I think that's the bigger thing. I mean, it'd be one thing if you went to Miami and they won and it was 2-1. But I mean, the fact that they won there is shit. Eric Spoelstra, dude. I'm telling
you. Is he the best? I'm trying to think of who the best coach. I wasn't trying to be a victim of or like just a prisoner of the moment, right? A victim of the moment or a prisoner of the moment. But I wanted to say is Spoelstra the best coach or the best mind in the NBA?
I think he is right now, man. I really think he is. I mean, even though Pop's still there, man, I really think he is, because you look like even breaking down.
I feel like we've had this conversation or we've asked this question before, right? Like, well, I've tried to prove it wrong to where I don't think it's Pop, but I think it is Pop.
Yeah.
Or it's not Pop, excuse me. Spoelstra.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if I remember correctly, when we broke down this series, we said what's going to give the Heat a snowball's chance in hell right here is their coach. And boom. I mean, dude, that's a good win. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, a win's a win, but you win by two and that's whatever. But dude, that 111-101, it's pretty damn impressive on the road.
Yeah, Adebayo last night, a double-double. Tyler Hero, a double-double. And again, man, without Jimmy Buckets, Buckets,
yeah.
how much can this Magic go on without Jimmy Buckets?
Exactly.
That is the thing. What's Jake say there? Pull that up. I wasn't able to read that.
He was going back to...
Spoelstra can win a game in the playoffs with Publix cashiers and Versailles employees. All right. That's one hell of a statement there, Jake. I don't know if that's
a coach.
That's a lot of confidence in my guy, Foles. I don't know if that can actually happen, but yeah. I don't know how much longer the Miami Heat can keep this Magic up, man. You got to shoot like that every night. You got to shoot like that every night. You got to be lights out every night.
Gentlemen sweep at this point. I think I'm
done predicting NHL and basketball games.
Yeah, well,
I think I'm done. I think I'm gonna let Walsh predict the rest of the games from here on out, man. That's what he does best. That's what he's known for. We welcome Walsh onto the show right now. You can find him on 14a.walsh on the Twitterverse. What's up, brother? How you doing today, man? Happy draft day.
Yes, likewise. Happy draft day to everybody. Happy playoffs. Happy MLB afternoon day. You should see the screens that I have up on my computer. It's like
I'm sure you're up and rolling, man. You ready for the 90? Your crew is going up against the Florida. You take down the Panthers in your old venue today.
Oh my God! That game too is probably one of the greatest hockey games I've ever watched in my entire life. And I had to watch the third period. George wants to talk about it too.
Hey, what's up, George?
That second period of the Panthers Lightning game was insane. You had Bobrovsky and Vasilevsky going head to head up against one another. Bobrovsky makes that unreal save on Amet Dumba. That probably would have won the game right there for the Lightning if the score held true, you know, to that point. Vasilevsky made some incredible saves right back down the other end. So, I mean, listen, it's do or die, right? You guys were talking. I've been listening all day, all 25
all
minutes.
All morning, so yeah. No, I got
but, you know, like.
Hey, Walsh, some of us all-nighters, man.
Like all day sometimes.
Kind of that situation there with the Stars, too, you know? And what was really funny about the Stars situation, right, that last night of the NHL regular season where, you know, it looked like Vegas definitely pulled a choke job in their final game so that they could see the Stars instead of the Edmonton Oilers, and paying off dividends for them so far. But Remember, too, the LA Kings, they looked like they were pulling a choke job there themselves. And then they were like, ah, you know what? I think everybody on Twitter is giving us hell. So we're going to come out and, you know, storm the barns here. I couldn't believe what I was seeing that final night of the NHL season.
Well, could you believe what you were seeing last night? I mean, the comeback from the Kings last night and then going into overtime and being able to steal one from Edmonton last night?
Yeah, that's nuts, man. I Edmonton's my pick to win the whole thing, and they have been pretty much, you know, like, I don't really pay attention to NHL early on in the season because we got MLB playoffs and NFL and stuff like that. But, you know, once you start finally coming around to it. And again, like, I took Edmonton here before the playoffs began. I think they were like, geez, I think it was plus 350 where I got them at the time. So I still.
What about from the East? I mean, who do you like out of the East? I know, like, our guy Tom McKay loves the bunch of jerks from Carolina there. But of course, you know, do your boys have it? Do the Bolts have it?
I thought so early on. I mean, I knew Florida, and of course, I had to go run my mouth. You know, I think Bissonette had something on Twitter, and I commented, "Oh, Tampa runs the Sunshine State," and I had, and like the five Panthers fans that are out there, you know, all came at me pretty hard. It's like, oh, it's gonna be a new day. But you know, listen, the last time we saw Florida in the playoffs, we swept them. They had the home ice advantage. I mean, Florida is just a much different team. They're so good in every facet. Bobrovsky's a great goaltender. And this is not the same Tampa team that they had in years past, right? Like,
right, the buzzsaw's no longer there.
Yeah, a lot of younger guys coming in there in place of the, you know, some of the veterans that we had, like, you know, a Goudreau, you know, Corey Perry, even there, of late.
Don't mention his name.
Alex Killorn, you know, I mean, there's just some guys that are gone that had that playoff grit. But, I mean, like, game one, I thought Tampa came out pretty lazy. First period of game two came out pretty lazy. And then they finally got it together. But, you know, I think the home ice advantage here tonight is going to help. If I had to make a play on this game, I do like the over. I think it's gone up to 6 from the initial 5.5. But I think we're going to see some goals here tonight. I think both teams are going to be doing their proverbial balls to the wall. It'll be nice. You know, we'll have the game going on the TV. We'll have the draft going on the computer. I mean, I'm going to have like 8 different screens going here tonight. My dog's going to hate me.
George might hate you, but you know what? Everybody else that has the screens behind them or whatnot, that it had to be all touched in and all tuned in, will love you, and you'll be giving us all that information for a reason, man. And all, by the way, if you need an audiovisual setup, make sure you call Tom McCain Audiovisual Consultations, 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. Whether you're watching the draft tonight, we're watching the, you know, NBA playoffs or the Stanley Cup playoffs, you got to get it done with avconsultations.com. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. And go to the website at avconsultations.com to see the gallery of projects that they've done over the past 35 years so that you can get an idea of what you want. Whether it's
TVs.
Go ahead.
How much do you think that would cost to get them to Jersey?
I guess I gotta
pay for all the Chick-fil-A, the gas, hotel accommodations on the way too.
I don't speak for Tom. That's the one thing I do not do. He's saying call him. But yeah, if they're good enough for people in Jersey to want him, they're good enough for everybody, my guys. So make sure you give them a call. 512-255-8678. Jesus. A lot of numbers, my guys. A lot of numbers. All right, let's get into it. Speaking of numbers, any numbers going to be moving up today in the draft, Walsh?
Yeah, so, all right. I started working with the new company here, freelance-wise, the Sidelines Group. Make sure you go check them out. But I did an article for the draft going on for tonight. So, by the way, if you're going to be
any prospects?
That's the only thing that we got going on here. But a lot of Texas guys in this draft, which I made sure to highlight here on there. But one of my favorite prop bets, your boy Byron Murphy, the second, right? First defensive player selected tonight. Plus 300.
Hold on. Let me get my damn book. Go ahead.
You got him to Atlanta? Atlanta?
That is
number 11.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. I said 8, but again, we could, you know, trades could happen. And I think that's what kind of
we got for Murphy first defensive guy off the board.
Yeah. So I think that's
that was the last ESPN is they had him 11 in a trade. In a trade.
So yeah. They must have updated that because they did have him at 8. But again, I do think that trades actually work in his favor, right? Because if you're moving up here, odds are you're trying to get one of these receivers, one of these quarterbacks, obviously. So, you know, he could just land in the right spot, particularly. But yeah, Byron Murphy. Now, keep in mind, this bet right now is at +300. Guy Philly, the Philly Godfather, who I talk about all the time. He actually had this prop bet long time ago, and this was initially
what did he get it at?
+900, right? Jesus. So now it's at +300. Crazy stuff.
Wow, damn.
What?
Yeah.
God damn. 900.
+900 down to +300 now.
So who do you see next? Do you have Worthy? Because I've seen Worthy anywhere from 21 to 32, everywhere they're in between. I even saw on one him going to Dallas, which I think is a bunch of shit. But I don't know. Latest mock, 21 to Miami on ESPN.
Yeah, I think everybody is in the mix for wide receivers these days. That's just that's just how things are going, right? You got Mitchell in the mix there as well. The fact that, you know, ESPN has 3 different Washington receivers listed in their top 12. You got the two guys.
I mean, hey, dude, they can fly, man. They're pretty good. That's a good tour.
You got the two guys from LSU, Neighbors and Thomas Jr. I mean, got some nice duos out there. But by the way, Wags, I think your boy Neighbors probably going there to the Giants.
I hope not. The one I want Adunze just because of his height. I like the 6'2" and the length that Adunze has. Neighbors can cook, right? And
I think he's a future Hall of Famer.
You can't deny that speed. His speed's undeniable, right? But I like, we need size for the Giants. That's for sure. And I also, man, Don't waste it on the wide receiver. Go ahead and take Alt. Go get Joe Alt. That's what I want.
All right. I mean, listen, everybody knows the Giants could certainly use some O-line help. That goes without saying. I just wonder about the Giants, right? Because, you know, if the draft plays out like we think, right, Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to Washington, Drake May to the Patriots, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. And then it's like, all right, the Chargers just got rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I mean, wouldn't they want some Neighbors, right? Yeah. Wouldn't you want a great neighbor, right? So especially if you're Harbaugh. So I was kind of looking at the Chargers draft situation last night because I knew, you know, they're a likely trade target. But I mean, Harbaugh, again, too, coming right out of college. Maybe he's a guy. And again, the Chargers are the most likely trade destination with a lot of teams right now.
If the Chargers don't trade, I think they're taking offensive line.
I think so as well. But I would also, too, right? Like, if you're a new coach, you know the college game very well.
You want to protect your franchise quarterback, right?
You could also trade out of that, get a couple more picks, because it looks like there's going to be more offensive linemen going a little later in the first round, mid-first round, somewhere around there. I think what makes this draft so interesting is that I think the entire top 10 could very well be skill position players.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah. One of the other prop bets that I got for the article that I did, Brock Bowers, selected by the New York Jets, wherever that might be, not necessarily pick specific, but I mean, they really haven't done a whole lot at the tight end position since really like Dustin Keller. You know, I mean, this is a team that could certainly use that position.
And it feels like that's one of the only positions in the skill set that they're kind of missing, right? Like that wide receiver room is coming together pretty nice. That running back room is still in core with Brees. You'd think maybe Brees Hall would not be able to come back after that Achilles, but I mean, hell, that was there. Yeah. Hey, you mentioned trading out. LA trading out. Let me offer you a scenario up for you. What about the Patriots? It always feels like, are we sure that 1-2-3 is actually going to go? What happens if May doesn't go to the Patriots? Maybe ends up going 3 overall, but just not to the Patriots. What happens if the Pats actually trade out to acquire more draft lot or draft capital rather? And then, that feels like a kind of a Patriots move, right? But what happens if it's a Raiders organization that jumps up a little bit there? Or maybe the Raiders jump up and take the second out of Washington's hands so that they go get Daniels. I feel like we're going to see a trade regardless. We always see a trade in the draft, right? Somebody comes up from either the middle of the pack or the middle of the first round or the latter portion of the first round to come up and get their coveted piece.
I in my notes here, I have New England, number 3, Drake May, rumored to trade. Definitely. And they very well could. That New England's another team that I think they're looking to acquire, multiple assets as opposed to one guy. However, the fact that they ship Mac Jones off to Jacksonville kind of lends itself to like, all right, now we really need a quarterback.
They're going with Zappy. They know what's up. They're going with Zappy.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, if they want the number one pick next year, then sure, that's the way to go.
And it's funny, guys, because with the Raiders, because for a long time I saw Murphy, Texas, I saw Murphy going to the Raiders, but the final mock from ESPN, now they're picking 13. Now Michael Penix has moved up to number 13.
Yeah. What about the J.J. McCarthy hype, Walsh? You buying into this, or is this just an ultimate sell job?
Hey, your Giants are in conversations. It's like, I
hope Bo Nix falls, man. I really do. I hope Bo Nix falls. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Bo Nix is probably out of there before 20. Or hell, man. Everybody's giving all the quarterback hype, but to the wrong quarterbacks. What about the guy that's been in the league or been, in college the most and has the most reps and you've seen the most game film on him? Wouldn't you think, or maybe that's why you're not taking him. I don't know, but he impressed the hell out of me last season.
There was a lot of chatter about McCarthy to number 2 to Washington. However, as I do with everything in my life, I look at the Vegas odds first and, it basically seems like a foregone conclusion that Daniels is going to be the guy at 2 just based on the odds. Whatever the number is, it's super high, whether it's 1,000 or 10,000, to be the second quarterback taken off the board, going to Washington, blah, blah, blah. Daniels, according to the odds, is going to be the guy. So,
well, you're a numbers guy. I play with all the damn emotion, and my Pisces heart tells me that there's something with Antonio Pierce in that connection with Daniels when he was coaching him in high school and then also at Arizona State that makes me think that the Vegas Raiders are coming up to get him. So, I don't know.
It would be interesting. I have heard the same thing that Rod said, that Michael Penix or the Raiders are in love with Michael Penix. I did not see him as a first-round pick at all. Kind of reminds me of a more hurt Tua, but take that how you will.
He said he's willing to take x-rays. He wants to give everybody the x-rays. He's perfectly healthy and he can ball.
But I think you could look at it this way too, right? Like I mentioned earlier, ESPN has 3 Washington wide receivers in the top 10. That's not what you're getting when you I had Oakland, but it's Las Vegas. I should know this by now. But that's not the situation that you're going to be in, right? I feel like Penix would do much better in a situation where pieces are there, we're sure of what's going on. I just don't think that sticking him out to the Lambs like that. And again, we're talking about a division that has Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, whatever Denver's going to wind up doing.
Who knows what the hell Denver's going to do, man?
And that's why with Penix, I've had the hard on for him to Seattle because I just think that it's a better fit. Plus,
it's a home, yeah.
I want to ask you, Walsh. So everybody, of course, with the number 1 pick, Chicago, we know what they're going to do. They still have that number 9 that's sitting right there. So I know Keenan Allen now there. You got DJ Moore that enhanced everything there last year. What are they going to do with that? Do you think that they could make a move with that 9, maybe move back a little bit, or are they going to go chase a Dunze or somebody like that to add to the wide receiver core there for their crown jewel that they're going to pick at number 1?
Yeah, I think you very well could. I think that they've got a pretty damn solid core on offense, right? DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. I still gives me shivers up my spine to say that name because in the fantasy finals he just started and then went out and I lost by 1.12.
Got him on my team, brother.
Anywho, whatever. They have a pretty solid offense. So if you're gonna draft the number one quarterback, I feel like getting some protection for your number one guy is probably the way to go.
Especially when you bring in Keenan Allen, right? When you also bring in Keenan Allen in the offseason, I think that points a little bit to the protection policy and the offensive tackle.
I definitely agree. But more to Rod's question here, I think that's quite viable, right? Because you got to look at it this way. You got an absolute steal from Carolina last year with that trade, right? Like, you don't even deserve this number one pick because you were not the worst team, but, you know, but like top of the bottom third of the league, essentially. So, yeah, I mean, you could make some nice lemonade out of these lemons here. That's a nice squeeze that you can get out of there. So, it is the number nine pick, right? So teams like, I don't know, whoever would like to move up ahead of Denver, Vegas, something like that.
Colts, maybe somebody like that could make a move, I think. I don't know.
Perhaps, but you're right. Like the receivers there, I mean, I can never get his name right, but Odunze from Washington.
Yeah. Odunze, you got it right. You hit it right.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. That's why I got lucky on the click right there. There's a couple of guys that you could turn up for. Just to go to Denver real quick, right? One of the last, it was three prop bets for this article. So last one was Bo Nix selected in the first round, which to me seems absolutely ridiculous, right? Like,
you don't think Bo Nix is
He should be. But the odds when I saw them last night were +120, now +105. Which is ridiculous, right? Because Denver doesn't have a second round pick. You got to think that they're going quarterback, and like whether they go Nix or Penix, and then that would kind of flip flop, right? Vegas would go to Nix, but I don't know. The odds on this just are weird to me because again, Denver, they're 12. They don't get another pick until the third round. It seems like free money going with this one. Yeah. So I took it last night.
So what do you take of the Zach Wilson deal? With Zach Wilson coming in, it's like you got Jared Stidham. Here's this dude. It's like,
Rod, let me ask you that question. Are you willing to put your franchise on Zach Wilson? Rodney.
Oh, me? Oh, yeah. No, I thought you were talking to Walsh.
Yeah. No, I said Rodney.
No, I'm sorry. I was waiting for him to answer. No, I'm not. But why do you bring that dude in? I mean, when I saw that trade,
They brought him in, obviously, because they think that he can make some plays, right? But are you putting – I'm asking a legitimate question. Like, I don't know it. Do you put your franchise? Do you rest your franchise on the arm of Zach Wilson?
I think it all depends on what they plan to do with this draft. If you plan to go in there and supplement other pieces to where this dude's not getting his ass killed every week, I think that's part of that. But can you bring in impact players through the draft to do that? And I don't think that's possible.
No, I don't think I don't have an idea of what Denver's doing. I thought they were going to be in the business in the market of drafting a quarterback. I thought it might be the whole JJ McCarthy hype.
JJ McCarthy was supposed to go there. Yeah, initially.
If JJ McCarthy wasn't going there, I thought maybe Bo Nix would go there because the next team that needs a quarterback after Denver would probably be the Rams, I would think, even though Stafford might have one or two years left. But again, that's not, you're looking for your franchise quarterback, right? Can Bo Nix get drafted by the Rams and then be tuned up under the tutelage of Matt Stafford and McVay? Hell, man, I think that's a pretty damn good landing spot for Nix, is going to the Rams there at 19.
I think whatever the Broncos do this year, they're going to be in the top. I'll be kind and say top five next year of the NFL draft, right? So do you just throw away this year And you know what, too? Maybe the Broncos need more season ticket sales from that Mormon fan base in Utah, you know?
Maybe drive
a little up there.
And they're cool with Wilson being the bridge, right? Being the bridge.
Hey, I hate all the crap that Zach Wilson got because up until this last year, it's not like he had a ton to work with. And then when he does have a lot to work with, he gets thrown in the mix basically the second series of the season.
Right.
And I thought that he did all right, you know, like he had the opening night win against Buffalo. He actually beat Buffalo the year before that at home as well. I mean, he had some pretty
terrible line. Like he had an awful line.
Yeah,
people need to say that.
And the Jets line this year is great. And again, that's why I think too that pick with Bowers, you know, makes more sense just because the Jets really, really assured them or really shored up their own line here in the offseason. So.
Yeah.
Could actually be a decent year for New York football here.
Maybe. Not from the Giants, though. Not from the Giants. Anything else before we get you out of here, man?
One play in MLB today. The line did go down. Phillies, Reds, under 8. You got Zach Wheeler on the mound today. Phillies, they lost 2 in a row here in Cincinnati. They got the win on Monday, but... I like them to get the W here today. I just, you know, it's going to cost you a bit to go there with Wheeler and the run line. You know, it could get a little dicey on the road. But Nick Martinez, who's going against the Phillies today, Phillies hitters, 6-for-91 against him lifetime. And then that's their guy. And Martinez has pitched pretty damn good at home this season, going up against the Phillies ace Wheeler. So, again, this has gone down to 7.5. That's all right. I bought it last night, you know, -110 at 8. But I still feel pretty good here. If you want to buy back up to 8, it's going to cost you -125. But Phillies Reds under 8 here in the afternoon. I do like that.
What about the hardcore? You going to be putting anything down on basketball tonight?
I don't think so. I still am a big fan. The Clippers are... kind of the team that I'm kind of banking on. I almost put a live bet in on. I bet them game one almost because I was doing stuff the other night, so I didn't get the game at tip off. But I was thinking about it live, and I was like, this line looks weird. Lakers are an interesting. It's funny. I took the Lakers game one. They had the 12-point lead, and then they blew it. and then I'm looking at the game too, and I'm like, damn it, this is the game that I should have bet them. Nope, they blew that too.
No, they blew that one too, man.
They're 1-point dogs at home tonight against the Nuggets, -110 both directions for the money line. I mean, you got to get one at some point, right?
I think if I
hit a couple of these draft props, I think I might go Lakers money line or what actually happened? No. You stick with the plus one.
What happens if LeBron gets swept again?
It's unfortunate. And I don't like this talk about him not being one of the greats because his longevity
alone is
great.
To be able to play at the level that he's played at for 20 years. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's not declining. He's still one of the top 10 players in the league, man. I don't know. I'm a fan of LeBron. How can you not be?
I mean,
he's not the GOAT, but I'm a fan of LeBron.
Yeah. And that's like Walsh. I was telling Wag. So this week at the NASCAR race, Jordan was there. His car won, so he's in victory lane at Talladega, and that's where that all came up again. It's like, who's the better player, LeBron or Michael Jordan? I'm like, how do you get that off from him being at a NASCAR race? That debate came up.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, you know.
Well, yes. I mean,
the weekend fans are saying they need you here on all the weekdays, man.
Yeah, hey, listen, man, the schedule gets wild, but, you know, I'm here now. How's my girl doing down there at Coda, Rod?
Everything's kind of quiet. She's in North Carolina. She's in North Carolina.
Hey, that's closer to Jersey.
She's not down here all the time. She was just on tour for that event.
Yeah, she's from here. She's from here.
I gotta go on tour more often.
You know what? You and Rodney need to go do a damn show together. You guys got the same agenda.
We can bring her on because she likes I think she likes Carolina hockey. I think she's a Panthers fan. So
we can get that little tussling going with the Lightning, Hurricanes, and the Bucks, Panthers.
Get the hell
right?
out of here! I could tell some
couple playful jabs, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell some stories about a night or two
ribbing.
When we were out in New York and what some of the female bartenders had to say about my guy Walsh here on camera. So real charmer this one.
Man of many talents right there is what
100%, man. Hey, nothing but a great fucking time, man. I'll tell you that all the time. Hey, man, we wish you the best. We'll talk to you. Hopefully talk to you Sunday or next week, man, whenever you get a chance
Sunday,
to come back
on.
I know your schedule is real busy. So
No. Sunday I'm good.
Right on, man. Well, hey, man, happy draft night. Hopefully we hit these prop bets. Remember, +300 from our guy Walsh here, man, on Byron Murphy going number one, first defensive player off the board tonight. I like that prop bet. If you guys need anything else from Walsh, make sure you hit him up on Twitter at 14a.walsh. He is the man to fill your pockets up with the green. The good green, too. The good green.
Let's go. Right, Irishman Murphy. Let's go.
premium Walsh with the green there. Hey, have a great day, Walsh. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
All right. Take care.
Later, dude.
And there he goes. Yeah, one of the best in the business, man. Make sure you guys are following him up on Twitter at 14a.walsh. He's also got some Instagram stuff, too. But, yeah, the guy is he's got a lot going on, man. Very busy dude. Writes for a lot of people. So make sure you guys are hitting him up and giving him a little bit of a thank you or whatnot. You know what I mean? He's giving you your tips. Make sure you give him his tips.
Yep.
Here's
a good tip right quick, Wags, before we run out of time here. Kind of getting on us quick. New or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, one place to go right here.
Hi, I'm Dan Culver with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Culver BK.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Culver, born and raised in Austin.
There you go. Since 1909, great folks right there at the Covert family of dealerships. CovertBCave.com.
All right. Last thing before we get out of here, man. Do you think any type of surprises are going to happen in this draft? All right. My one bold prediction that I am making, okay? Yeah. There will be a trade. There will be a trade.
Yeah.
It will be the Las Vegas Raiders moving up to the second spot to acquire the second overall from the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels will be selected by the Vegas Raiders.
Could be. I mean, it could be. But, you know, that's where a lot of these teams.
Rodney, it will be. Watch.
When they talk about, you know, we're open for business, I mean, and the whole thing is, I mean, with the Commanders, they definitely need to get that quarterback position addressed. So how bad do you want that dude? I think is kind of the question for them. And the whole thing is the Commanders, they're in that rebuild mode where we talk about, and they are in total rebuild mode. Head coach, general manager, ownership, everything brand new. What Dallas needs is what they are doing right now. So, yeah. I mean, I think with enough capital that could come at them, and honestly, Wags, if they swapped first round picks with the Raiders, they can probably still get them a serviceable quarterback because that's where Penix is right now in the final mock draft.
So, I that's the one thing I saw, but I also think that McCarthy ends up in Washington. I feel like for some reason McCarthy doesn't go as high as everybody is projecting him to go. I'm telling you right now, I feel like there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of hype that people spend. There's fake news that goes out there, so to speak, just to throw people off, right?
Yeah.
Just so, you know what I mean? If owners feel like another owner or another organization or a franchise has a coveted piece, they're like, oh, all right. Well, you know, just so we steer them away from the people that we want, let's kind of talk them on to things, and maybe they'll go ahead and take this piece to, or they'll jump the gun to come up here and offer us a lot more lottery or capital, so to speak, so that we can fall back and still get the guy that we wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Create the hype, create the sensation. I never, and I always go to this. I thought it was an awful movie the first time I watched it. But Draft Day with Kevin Costner and Chadwick Boseman and whatnot.
Yep.
I usually don't watch it, but I find myself whenever I have work, well, man, it's on one of the, it'll probably be on the second TV far while I'm watching other stuff today too, while I'm watching Texas Sports Unfiltered and whatnot. Usually I have it on there just for the vibe, just for the sensation. And we, I want all my damn picks back.
McCarthy, I mean, that is going to be the intriguing story, I think, tonight. Because, I mean,
it's the hype. I don't think he knows that.
It's like a media, he's like the media darling right now. I mean, that's really what this feels like. And honestly, I mean, I think that if he goes number eight to Minnesota, if he goes to Minnesota, I think that's the perfect place for him, because it's like we talk about. He goes to a good situation. He's not getting his brains wrecked in every week.
Two teams made moves in the offseason to acquire quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. Denver and Minnesota. I don't think either of those players are franchise quarterbacks, or I don't think those teams made those moves with the mentality of thinking, okay, Darnold's our franchise,
right.
You know,
right.
for the next 10 years, and Zach Wilson's our franchise for Denver the next 10 years. Yeah. I do think they're bridges, right? I can see Minnesota getting in the business here, getting in the draft and selecting a quarterback. I just don't think it's JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think Penix is ahead of McCarthy. I got McCarthy at the bottom of the barrel for all these quarterbacks.
But he's going to go ahead of them, though. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think it's smoke and mirrors.
And, you know, the other part about that, like you were talking about, I mean, Atlanta made the move for Kirk Cousins, and that's for moving forward. And they solidified they filled a hole that they needed to fill, so they think, there with Kirk Cousins. So they have done that. But
I actually want to hear from chat. Like, does chat believe in the hype of McCarthy? Put a one in chat if you think McCarthy goes before Penix, or put a one in chat if McCarthy goes top 10.
You know, this could be to where McCarthy goes way early and we're way surprised. He goes 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that. Or this could be another Aaron Rodgers thing to where he's like projected. Remember when Aaron Rodgers was draft class? He's sitting there waiting, and it's like fucking painful to watch his shit.
Or remember when Brady Quinn? Oh, my God. That was probably the worst. Yeah. Brady Quinn was probably the worst I think I've ever seen or not felt. Right. Like, but I did feel I had a little bit of empathy for Brady Quinn when I was watching him. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody was going off the draft board for him, and rightfully so. Like Cleveland was able to make their pick and then also wait, because he was projected to go to Cleveland in the first round. Cleveland passed on him. Everybody else passed on him. And then it got back to the second round, and then they finally took Brady Quinn. I mean, of course, they drafted him regardless, but they got it right by not, you know, wasting a first rounder on the guy. So that's one of the most memorable drafts I can think of, man. Yeah, that was a very painful moment, or at least just a very cringe moment of watching the draft for me. Lamar Jackson. I mean, I didn't know if Lamar was going to go in the first round or not when his draft day happened, or, you know, when he, that whole scene when he was, you know, shown alone in the green room or whatnot, you know, as a lonely soul quarterback or whatnot. I didn't know how far that he would actually, or which teams were actually coveting Lamar Jackson on his draft day. So again, that's why I always thought that Brady Quinn was just the most brutal draft day of all, or at least to my memory.
And I don't know if that happens here with McCarthy, but he definitely has just here in the last 4 weeks.
He's going to be in the green room. He's going to be in the green room. Which quarterback in the green room gets hurt, gets their feelings hurt the most tonight?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, that's a great question. And it's been so all over the map, like we were talking about with Penix. I mean, we saw Penix, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, not even in the first round, and now he's number 13 to the Raiders. So that's where all of this has moved around, and McCarthy's been the biggest one of them all. I mean, it's like, boom, here he is. And it's all media-driven. So we'll see. If he's going to get a broken heart tonight, he can blame it on the media, because they've been the ones that have just clamored to him that's going to be a franchise quarterback that's going to change the path of whatever organization he goes to.
could you see a trade going down with LA? And of course, I am throwing this hypothetical out here. I haven't even looked at the numbers for finances or whatnot. And I know Justin Herbert has one hell of a contract. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But could you see a hypothetical to where Harbaugh, being the craziest dude that he is, trades Justin Herbert, goes and drafts JJ McCarthy? Okay. Because he sits there and swears up and down that JJ McCarthy is the best quarterback in this draft. Could you see a crazy hypothetical scenario to where one Justin Herbert would exit stage right from LA to acquire draft capital and get one JJ McCarthy?
That came up.
No, it did not.
I heard that. I think I heard that last night or yesterday at some point to where that would happen. I know it would be a very expensive.
We are conjuring things into life here. We're making stories happen.
But here's what I like. I mean, and again, I know it's all financial, but here's what I like, where we're talking about all these organizations that are hinging their hopes on these young quarterbacks. I mean, if you can make that deal happen and you get Justin Herbert, shit. You've got a dude ready to go. But
I don't think it's any surprise that we've seen so many of the core pieces of this draft start to move up into the predictions now, right? You're starting to see the nucleus portions of the draft to where you're getting offensive linemen and defensive linemen. I also think it's a wide receiver heavy draft as well. You're starting to see the quarterback projections. I feel like they're starting to get a little bit more realistic and they're starting to deflate a little bit to where the quarterbacks are starting to move down a little bit more in the draft. I mean, I'm with all the hype. I'm with all the national pundits. I think, of course, I was throwing, you know, spitball crazy hot takes out there with the Patriots, you know, trading down with Vegas or whatnot. Do I really think it's going to happen? Probably not. Would I be shocked? No. But do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. I think 1-2-3 is going to go the way that everybody else is seeing it, with Caleb Williams, Daniels at 2, and then May at 3. If May goes at 3, I think everything else will probably fall in suit the rest of the quarterback predictions wise. Yeah. I do. If May goes to the Patriots, I do see Knicks going to L.A.
Yeah. Well, and I think
L.A. Rams. L.A. Rams, not Chargers. Rams.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Let me reiterate that.
You have all these quarterbacks where they finally shake themselves out, and then I think the bulky, the meaty part of the draft is going to get a little – I mean, that's when the big offensive tackles start going. You know, whether it starts with Alt or whoever it's going to start
with. Who's the first tackle? Yeah, who's the first tackle you think is
Alt? I think probably Alt. Okay. I think Alt would be. And I think that Dallas has their eye on Tyler.
What about Guyton. Latham? Do you like Latham?
I do like Latham. I like Latham a lot. I really like Latham a lot.
You obviously know the product of Alabama, right?
Yeah. But I think it's going to be.
Fashanu, another great piece, huge piece. The only problem with him, you know, what pundits are saying on him, he doesn't have that many snaps. Doesn't have that many games under his belt. But still, with the body of work that he's had, man, he looks pretty damn dominant.
See, and with Latham, I mean, you mentioned Latham right there, and then you mentioned the Chargers. The freshest mock draft that I'm looking at right now, you've got J.C. Latham going to the Chargers at number 5. And I think that makes much more sense than trying to ship off Justin Herbert. I mean, you take care of that dude, enhance that dude. But I don't know, dude. I don't know. But I think it gets very offensive tackle heavy. The meaty part of the draft, we start getting around 14.
Yates has a draft. Okay, so Yates has Williams. Yeah, okay. So the 1-2-3s are basically intact for everybody, right? Yeah. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then
Harrison at 4. Yeah.
And then Harrison 4. All right. And then, okay. So, yeah. So Yates has Latham going to the Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I like that.
Everybody's got neighbors to the job. I don't, God. Oh, God. I don't want that. I just don't want that, man. I would like to see Alt, especially since, you know, the Giants are right there at 5. I've seen Alt go as high as 4. I've seen Alt projected to go to the Chargers as well. So I do think the Chargers are probably making a move at offensive tackle, whether it be Latham, Ault, or Fashanu. I don't know which one of those three are going to go first. I think Ault's the best one out of all of them, but you know the product that you're going to get of an Alabama tackle, right?
Well, I mean, and all that conversation we were having about Denver and the quarterbacks and so forth and so on, I mean, this has Dallas Turner, the edge from Alabama, going number 12 to Denver. So
Yates had the Vikings in Atlanta doing something, and then Minnesota acquiring McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which for him, that's a good spot.
I like it. Darnold for a year or two, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or maybe not even a full year. Maybe Darnold's just the bridge until McCarthy's ready, right? So
yeah. Yeah. Well, Yates says he'd start right away. Be like, he'd be an immediate starter, but he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. That's the good part about it. Doesn't have to.
I don't know. I'm just not buying that brand. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody, like, again, man, everybody is hot on McCarthy. I think it's smoke and mirrors. I don't think McCarthy even goes in the first round. But, you know, I've been wrong the past three nights, guys, on my predictions. So,
yeah.
And usually the stuff that I see or the stuff that I predict in the draft, it doesn't happen. But, hey, what you can make happen is line your pockets with a +300 bet, a prop bet with Murphy going as the first defensive pick out of the draft right now. And surprise, surprise, he's coming from the 40 acres, my guys.
There you go. There you go. He will be the first. And
do you think Worthy goes over AD?
Yeah, probably. But I would take AD over Worthy. The Yates has, and it's going to be a great landing spot for one of these dudes. From everything we've seen, Yates has Mitchell going to Kansas City.
Yates has Mitchell going to Kansas City instead of Worthy going to Kansas City.
Yeah,
Worthy goes to Miami
at 21.
That fits their offense, but I would think that Miami kind of needs to shore up a little bit of the of the running back. So actually, I don't know. A-Chain.
Yeah,
they're still there.
I'll
tell you who is here now is the boys. For It's Only an Hour. What's up, Jeff? What's up, Jordan? Happy draft day.
Draft day. I love this day, man. I remember back in the day, because I didn't have the internet right when I was a kid. So I had to get the Austin American Statesman. They would have like the draft order that was blank. And I would go through. Sometimes I didn't even have cable till I was in the satellite, till I was in the fifth grade. So I'd have to listen like the radio or something. And figure out, you know, do my little draft chart as I was going along.
Yeah.
But, any surprises from you guys tonight? Any shockers that you think is going to happen?
Man, I know my guy Matt Miller at ESPN has talked about it. Daniel Jeremiah has talked about it.
Yeah, good.
I think
good
there's a real chance Byron Murphy goes in the top 10, maybe 8 to Atlanta.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard y'all flirting with that yesterday too. Like that was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would look for Byron Murphy to go pretty early. Again, I think everybody's at the mercy of the Cardinals and what they're going to do. Yeah, they trade out. You know what happens.
Yep.
Does JJ McCarthy fall? You know,
are y'all really buying this McCarthy mania? This it's not smoke and mirrors.
Jordan, I don't know where you are, man. I think JJ McCarthy's a good quarterback. I think he's going to be terribly overdrafted relative to what his skill
set. I think they all are overdrafted except for Caleb Williams.
I'm not going to lie. I don't. What's the McCarthy mania you're referring to? Is there smoke? Someone's going to trade up for him or something? I haven't been paying a ton of attention.
I don't think that he's a first round quarterback, and he's receiving tremendous love the past month, I would say, and his stock has soared. No one had him in the first round before this month, and now after the
pro day, days when the shit went crazy.
Yeah, after pro day, and after a little snippet from Jim Harbaugh saying that he's the best quarterback in the draft. McCarthy stock has soared, and they got him in the top 10 now.
What doesn't concern me about JJ McCarthy, especially like if he goes to the Giants, he's a Chicago kid, played in the Big Ten. So when you talk about being a cold weather quarterback, gripping the ball, being able
he's got to deal with the wind. You know, what I mean? it's windy at the Meadowlands. So.
Yeah, that's not gonna be foreign for him. I do wonder with him. I kind of feel the opposite about him. Like Drake May's the guy I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole in this draft.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
McCarthy's the guy that I feel like we didn't really get to. You know, he played a pro style offense at Michigan, but you know, you play for a head coach that's so run centric and doesn't mind. Hey, if I got to run the ball three times to beat Penn State, I'll do it. We haven't seen JJ McCarthy being all in an offense where he can grip it and rip it. And man, there's a sampling of throws. If you look at, if you watched enough Michigan and you look at some of the, there's a couple throws he made this last year in the Ohio State game where I'm like, dude, that's an, it's an NFL throw where he's leading, like he's throwing a guy open and getting it through a window that he has no business getting it into. So I'm more optimistic about McCarthy, much so than I am Drake May.
Okay. No, I can get on that. I can back that.
Yep. Very curious. How do y'all feel about Jaden Daniels?
I think the dude's a stud. I think he also benefited from Neighbors with, you know, the speed demon that Neighbors is. I honestly thought that there was a really good relationship between he and Antonio Pierce, and that the Vegas Raiders would actually take a chance at going up and trading with the Washington Commanders to go up there and take Jaden Daniels at two.
Mm. I think with Jaden Daniels, there are some quarterbacks that take hard hits. Dude, I've seen him get obliterated. Yeah. And, dude, if can't look,
it also Cam just Newton, like it always looks way worse with him because he doesn't slide and he has this like toothpick build that makes his head look humongous, like he's like a bobblehead. So when he gets popped, like it looks hilarious and it looks worse than it is. But I get what you're saying, Jeff, for sure.
Dude, I like Daniels better than Caleb, to be honest with you. I've just not been on the Caleb thing, man.
Well, I mean, you can't deny the numbers that Daniels put up either, right? And that's in the SEC. So, I mean, again, I think the guy's a stud. I think he should have – I think that should transfer well to the NFL. I just don't think it's going to happen in the first 2 years, though.
My thing is just like, man, Jaden Daniels had a dream team, right? Like a legitimate – he has two first-round receivers. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. And all the stats, they're not BS, but they stat padded so he could win a Heisman. It was so obvious.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to get hit. He's also like old as shit. Like he's so old. I saw this clip on Twitter. Do you remember when Arizona State beat Oregon off that walk-off Hail Mary?
Yeah.
He threw that hole to Ayuk in 2019. It was so long ago. It was pre-COVID. Like, does that not red alarms or you know what I mean? Like, come on. I don't know. That's how I
think. He's been in the league just as long as Bo Nix.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, but, like, I'm not over here hyping up Bo Nix either. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't know. Caleb Williams is the only one I would feel comfortable with, like, with a top five pick. And, like, I get what you're saying, Rod, about maybe liking Daniels more. But you can't overthink that, man. Like, we've never seen a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, and Caleb is the closest thing we've ever seen to Patrick Mahomes. That can't be overstated. That's got to be remembered. I know, you know, he's a diva. He paints his nails. He does all this other shit. Cool. Like, there's been way worse things. Like,
didn't Cam do crazy stuff? Cam wore bonnets. You know?
Yeah, but also, like who gives a shit?
And that's where I'm at. You should see the shit that I wear when I'm not on screen, man.
Yeah, and it's like, look, I know painting your nails is weird or whatnot, and he does some other stuff that is weird or is feminine to some people, but like, who gives a shit? He can throw a ball better than anyone else. Right. You know what I mean? And he's gonna win you games. We're drawing the line now and not at Dennis Rodman in the 90s. Like, are you kidding me?
No, I'm with you, man. I don't give two shits what people wear or how they dress, man, or what they put in their ears or what they put in their dick. I don't care. I just don't.
Whoa.
Hey, man, that got a little wild. That got a little wild real quick. Anyway,
have you ever seen anybody that got the Prince Albert?
I actually, real quick before I get out of here, one of my Marines actually got a tattoo on the head of his cock, or excuse me, God, that just can't, on the head of his member, right? And it said, try me. And it had a smiley face on it. So on the head, on the head.
I respect creativity.
On the fucking head. Anyway, I'll leave you with that. Y'all have a great day. Happy draft day.